everyone, and welcome to Futures in Languages, a podcast showcasing stories from UCF Modern Languages and Literatures Department alumni. I'm Christina Torres, and I'll be hosting this episode. Today, we'll be talking with Milagro Trujol Quiroz, who graduated from the Spanish BA in 2014, the Spanish MA in 2016, and most recently, the MA TESOL program in 2020. Thank you so much for joining us today, Milagro.
No problem, Christina. Thank you for having me and keeping me in mind to complete this help.
Of course. All right, let's go ahead and start off with the first question. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I was born and raised in Barranquilla, Colombia, and I moved to the United States when I was 17. I graduated in high school in Colombia, and when I moved to the States, I had to go back to high school. My cousin always told me it's better to have a high school diploma than a GED. And I just took that advice and I went back to high school when I was already at the university in Colombia. So in Colombia, I was pursuing a business administration degree. I completed 3 semesters there. Then I moved. Then I had to go back to high school. When I moved here, I lived in Rhode Island. So I went back to Central Falls High School. That's when I graduated. So I had 2 high school diplomas, one from Colombia, one from here. Fun fact, I graduated in Colombia when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
When I started here in Colombia, in Rhode Island, I started the half year of the 11th grade. And then I had to complete the entire 12th grade. So I had that graduation. It was really fun. What can I tell you about when I was in high school? Because that's very important to who I am today.
Okay.
As a Spanish speaker, I was very afraid to speak English. When I was in Colombia, I was taking these English classes after school. And I completed 12 levels at the Centro Cultural Colombo Americano.
Mm.
You know, it's funny because I would understand the grammar. I would read and understand what a sentence was saying. But I was so afraid to speak it because of the pronunciation. And then I'm like, okay, I have to survive and I have to be part of the community and I have to be part of the culture as well. So if people make fun of my accent, then I'll make fun of my accent as well. It doesn't matter. So it was really weird being at a high school, taking ESL classes, taking content that I had already taken back in Colombia. So for example, math topics that I was taking in 12th grade, had already taken those topics back in 9th grade in Colombia.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, good. This is like a review for me.
Mm.
It wasn't that hard in regards to the academic part, okay, going back to high school here, because I was very familiar with the topics, but it was more getting to be part of a group, you know, like mm-hmm. Because you see the division of ESL students, non-English speakers,
mm-hmm.
with the English speakers, even during break time. You will see the tables, all the Colombians in a table, all the Puerto Ricans in a table, and then all the English speakers on the other side. So I saw that division. And coming from a country where you don't see such division that much,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have like those groups at school, you know, like your little grupitos, your mm-hmm. friends.
Yeah.
But it's not as divided by culture.
Mm.
So that was something new to me. And that's when taking my courses while doing my master and talking about bilingualism and all that, I was then connecting those concepts to my own experience. So that was very helpful. Okay. So that was high school. Then I moved to Orlando
mm-hmm.
and I had to find out what I wanted to study. It was different completing a degree in business administration. And I'm like, okay, what do I want to do here in the States? Do I want to go back to business administration? Do I want to see numbers every day of my life, computing, you know, math? And I was like, no. So I enrolled at Valencia. And I had to take EAP classes. I had to take humanities. I remember I took this history class and I took a Spanish class at Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my mind did like click. Okay. And I saw this lady teaching Spanish to a Spanish speaker. And I'm like, I don't think I want to continue with business administration anymore. Mm-hmm. I think I want to teach Spanish. And I enjoy it so much at the college level that that's when I say I want to teach Spanish at the college level. Okay, so I finished my AA. I completed my AA at Valencia in 2012. And I started at UCF, I believe it was in the fall of 2012.
Yeah.
I wanted to teach Spanish. The only program that I saw with Spanish, it was foreign language, teaching foreign language of Spanish, something like that, at the with the education department. So I enrolled in those classes. I learned about, you know, the history of education in the U.S. I took technology, like, you know, teaching with technology. I remember that. I took a diversity class. Mm-hmm. All that information, it was very beneficial for me until I took a Spanish class, a foreign language to teach Spanish to K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I took an intermediate class, but I was just following the education program and all of that. So I took a Spanish class and, you know, I spoke with one of the professors and I said, like, I want to teach Spanish, but at the college level. I don't think that the program that I am enrolled at this moment, it's the one that I really want to pursue, because, and I was not feeling that connection with the environment and feeling like this is what I really want to do the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to teach kids. And since I already knew what I wanted to do, I'm like, I want to teach Spanish at the college level. What do I need to do? Professor said, well, do you know about the Spanish program? I'm like, no. That's when I switched from the education program to the Spanish program. And I completed my Spanish BA.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed my Spanish BA. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I had a good guidance through my BA. I completed one semester of the Spanish MA while I was an undergrad.
Okay, wow.
So that was like a big step for me to be considered part of the Spanish MA when mm-hmm. applying to the Spanish MA. So in spring 2015, I started my first semester of the Spanish MA. You know, I was not an undergrad, I was a grad student now, and I was offered a TA position as well. So mm-hmm. that was very helpful because you get two semesters to teach a lower division class. That experience for me was like the best of the best. That was
mm-hmm.
phenomenal for me.
Yeah,
and that gave me like a different perspective of being a student to now be in charge of a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the one that is going to be teaching. Now you see from
the other side.
Now
right?
Now you get to see what it feels like when students are testing, when they're not paying attention, when they are paying attention, but they're really not. So it was very interesting to me. And then thinking about what techniques I want to do or what I want to use to make sure that they're enjoying my class. So it was very beneficial for me. It was very helpful. It was a great experience, and I would recommend it to anyone who wants to pursue a Spanish BA to consider a Spanish MA, and you know, to think about applying for a TA position because you get that teaching experience that you really need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished my Spanish MA in 2016, and I didn't know what I was going to do after.
So
that was really funny, and I'm like, okay, I have to start applying for a job. There were no I didn't know about any opportunities at UCF. I didn't know how to apply at UCF, and I would go to this website, you know, Indeed, job fair and all that, and I hear about this job fair for Orange County, and I went there, and there were so many people in there, and it was my first time being at a job fair. We got interviewed for so many schools, and like a week later, someone called me. I'm like, okay, if this is it, this is not what I really wanted to do, to teach at elementary, middle school, or high school. If this is the only opportunity that I'm going to have, then I'm going. But then something happened at UCF, and a position opened up, and then I took the one at UCF. It was a visiting position. And I'm like, okay, this is what I need to be part of UCF, and at least to get that experience as a visiting instructor, I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it, and then an instructor position opened up, and I applied for that position. I got that position as well, and here I am.
So,
it's been since 2016 that I've been teaching at UCF.
So you are an official knight. You did your bachelor's, you did your first and second masters at UCF, and since graduation you've stayed at UCF, so you go Knights, charge on. If you had to say something from the program, how did either the Spanish MA or the MA TESOL program prepare you for your life now as a teacher?
Well, it's a different perspective, because finishing the MA TESOL, it kind of like took me back to the topic that I was discussing in the classes in the Spanish MA, especially with the linguistics side. So I feel like that connection there. Also, being an instructor, you get to know so many students, and I think that's one of the things that it prepares you to know students from different backgrounds. And what it inspires me is that I can make a difference. That student, I always say that a good teacher is the one that you're always going to remember the rest of your life. You know, maybe I'm not going to continue, you know, taking Spanish classes anymore in my life, but I remember this instructor for X situation or for X example that she mentioned or for X way of instruction that she used. So I think that would answer your question.
Yeah. So it sounds like you had some great experiences, and you also mentioned your TA-ship was really important for you as a stepping stone to preparing you to where you are now.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, if I wouldn't have that experience as a TA, I wouldn't know how to survive at the university level. It's not easy. I think the mind of those students from 18 to 24, 25 years old, you have to impact them in some way. You have to connect with them. It's not like, okay, I'm teaching this part over here, but when you... Not like trying to be their friend, but also to be like to have empathy. And also, since I was a student, I know what I was expecting from my instructors. Like, I want to do the same with my students.
I think the word that I think about as a teacher, because we're both teachers here, is to inspire. Like, my goal is to inspire and to encourage curiosity in the subject, and to, you know, hopefully put that seed that will grow later, however that is, you know, even if you're not staying in that field, but to inspire.
Yeah. Especially to make them think.
Yes.
When I was taking Spanish, I would say I was being very naive, saying, well, I speak Spanish, I don't know what I have to learn more about the language, you know. And I would say my friends in Colombia, my brothers, like, you know, I'm completing a degree in Spanish, and they would say, but you already speak Spanish. Yeah. Like, no, it's different. Like, do you know the past subjunctive of this verb? And they would say, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Those things are the things that I'm learning, and it's important to know. I'm learning more about linguistics. I'm learning about my own language that I was very unfamiliar with. I'm learning more about literature. I have to thank the Spanish BA and the Spanish MA for giving me that opportunity to read again. I didn't like to read back in Colombia. I don't even remember how I passed those quizzes or those tests.
Yeah,
I wouldn't read them. And I feel the pressure, and I know the necessity as well to read. If I'm going to be teaching about Spanish, I need to know about the culture. I need to know about the literature. I need to know about an author. You know, when someone talks about that author, like, I know who they're talking about in the Spanish literature. So I would say that it gave me the opportunity to be passionate about reading.
That's great.
So
that's
great. Thanks to the Spanish.
Yeah. And you talked about this ability to deconstruct the language. And I think that's something that's so important, because even if we're a native speaker of a language, like, teaching the language is a different animal altogether than just being a native speaker.
When I teach, since I teach lower level Spanish for the lower level division, I will make them think about their own language, their English. I would say, I'm a Spanish speaker, but if I make a mistake, I expect you to correct me. Say, Profesora Mila, it's not like that. it's like, you are the English speakers. Mm-hmm. So, and they will look at me like, what is she talking about? So when I'm explaining X verb, for example, mm-hmm. I will explain the difference, how to conjugate the verbs in Spanish, mm-hmm. that it's different in English, you know, like the subject pronoun, the verb conjugation. Mm-hmm. We don't need the subject pronoun in, you know, when speaking Spanish. And they were like, oh, yeah, she's right. Like, I've never thought about that. I didn't know that. Like,
yeah, it's funny to see the light bulbs go off for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So make them think about their own language. And I think that's really enjoyable to see in the students and make them know that I don't know everything, you know. I may be an English speaker, but there is more. There is always something else that maybe I don't know.
Yeah, you're touching on that idea of, you know, inspiring, like, the future learning, like, to create lifelong learning, you know, which I think is a goal that, you know, all of us have, like, teacher to teacher, like, to get students to want to learn more.
Yes, and it's also good to see those students that they actually enjoy learning a language, mm-hmm. and how you inspiring them to continue, you know, pursuing either a minor or a major in Spanish.
For sure.
I mean, they don't know. I always tell them, you don't know if tomorrow you're gonna end up living in a Spanish speaking country and you're going to need Spanish. Mm-hmm. You never know. And then when you move to that Spanish speaking country, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember when Professor Amila told me this, mm-hmm. and I didn't pay attention to her.
Yeah. And now I can email her and I can ask her a question.
Yeah. I think it's great to be an inspiration to the students and be remembered for something, you know.
Yeah. So my last question here at the end of the podcast is, what advice would you offer someone who is interested in studying either Spanish or TESOL from the department? What advice would you give them?
Well, since I just finished, like, recently finished the MAT, so mm-hmm. in the spring semester, I haven't gained that experience with, you know, teaching English. But the reason why I pursued that master is because I wanted to be prepared if an opportunity comes later in life of moving to a different country, mm-hmm. and I'm able to teach English. And I remember that when I was looking for to teach Spanish, you know, for a job, I was looking for teaching Spanish in a different country, but there were no opportunities. There was always English, 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 English. I'm like, okay, so I can teach Spanish, but let me have this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I can use, you know, the MAT, so I don't know, maybe next year at a community college, mm-hmm. or these English institutes. But my goal for the MA is to have that degree and use it as a teacher in a different country. I would love to have that experience.
Yeah.
Since with the Spanish MA, well, I have a lot to say about that. But one of the advices that I would give my students is, if you have the chance to teach Spanish, or I mean to study Spanish in this case, even if you are a native speaker or heritage speaker, I would say just go the extra mile with that in the program. And one of the things is that I didn't have the chance to be part of since I was working 40 hours and being a student, a full-time student, I didn't have the chance to attend as many activities at school or within the program.
Yeah.
So I missed some of those things, and maybe like to connect more with instructors or professors or even my classmates as well. Mm-hmm. So I would say the students just take as many opportunities as you can while you're in the program. If you can attend the colloquium, go to the colloquium. If you can't, go to another university to, you know, to present about a research that you're doing or a project that you're working on, go and present it. I mean, you don't know if after the MA you're going to pursue a PhD or if you're going to be moving to a different country, but as many opportunities as you can take, go ahead and do that.
That's great. Thank you so much, Milagro, and we really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us on our podcast today.
Oh, no, anytime.
Today.
It's okay. Thank you, Cristina, for having me.
Of course.
And I hope to see more students in the Modern Language and Literature Department.
For sure.
It's fun to learn about languages.
It is, yeah. So thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Futures and Languages. I'd like to give a shout out to Davideo Guy for our intro and outro music downloaded from freesound.org. I'm Cristina Torres, and our featured guest today was Milagro Triol Quiroz. Tune in next time to hear more alumni stories from modern languages. For more information about the Spanish programs and TESOL programs in Modern Languages and Literature's department, please visit our website at mll.caah.ucf.edu.